In today's gospel, we have the story of Zacchaeus, and we all know the story of Zacchaeus, how he was a tax collector and how he wanted to see Christ, and how he was able to see Christ because of what he was able to do. And he didn't care about anything and anybody, just the focus of his mission was to see Christ and to meet with him. In today's epistle, St. Paul tells us, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of the rulers of this age, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." The reason Zacchaeus was able to see Christ was because he walked in wisdom. He decided that the only thing that mattered to him at this point was meeting with Christ, and that he would do whatever it is in order to see him. We read in the Epistle of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So many people wander about life without having any focus, without having any goal or any aim in their life. And they go around without getting anywhere because they are distracted by everything that comes their way. But a wise person has a purpose in his life, and he has a direction in his life. And that's why St. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And he tells us about three ways or three steps that we must partake of in order to live wisely, in order to live with a purpose. And the first step, he says, is to walk circumspectly. To walk circumspectly means to walk carefully. It means to be wise and to be careful in what you do. Being careful means being wise. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon tells us of three things that a wise person must do in order to be wise. He says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." So the first point for us to be wise is to depart from evil. The second point, he says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And so the second step is for us to understand that we need counsel in our life. And that is why the church teaches us to have a confession father and to have a spiritual leader in our life who can give us counsel so that we might become wise. And the third point, he says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." And so the third point is to not trust on our own understanding and on our own power, but to trust in the power and the understanding that comes from above. To walk circumspectly or to walk carefully means to pay attention to detail. It means to keep our eyes open and to pay attention and look where we are going. When we go to a place like Six Flags, a theme park, and we find a lot of people keep on bumping into each other, and we wonder why these people keep on bumping into each other. And the answer is very simple. They are not walking carefully. They are busy looking at all the attractions and all the shows and all the amusement that they are not looking ahead. They're not looking in front of them. And so they lose focus. They are not walking circumspectly. It is the same way in our spiritual life. If we are being distracted by any and everything that comes our way, then we won't have a goal that we can focus on, and we will keep on bumping into everything and everyone. Living circumspectly and living carefully means paying attention to where your life is going and setting a goal and having a plan. And some examples that can bring this into practicality, if we think about somebody who's going on a trip, he has to sit down before he goes on a trip and make a plan for his trip. He sits down, gets a map, finds out where he's going to spend the night, where he's going to eat, what kind of attractions he's going to attend, what things he's going to do, and what things he's not going to do. This is a person who walks carefully, a person who has a plan and a purpose for this mission. No one builds a house without having any kind of blueprint, without having any kind of architectural plan before he starts building his house. No one writes a book without having a theme or having a plot for that book. Would you be interested in reading a book that was just nothing but some words that are being put together without any kind of plan for this book? No one is able to hit a target unless he takes careful aim at that target. So this is the first question. Are we living our life carefully? Are we living our life circumspectly? Or are we just going about being distracted by anything and everything that comes in our way? Zacchaeus was able to walk circumspectly by keeping his focus on Christ. He was not distracted by the fact that he is short. He was not distracted by the fact that there is a great crowd. He was not distracted by the fact that he was a sinner and a tax collector and rejected by everyone. His focus was on Christ, and his goal was to see Christ and to meet Christ. And so he overcame all these obstacles and all these distractions, and he walked circumspectly. He walked carefully. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The second step that St. Paul teaches us, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The second step is to redeem the time. Our time is very limited. We don't have enough of it, and we can never have enough of it. Our time is so precious that wasting time is something that should not even be in our minds. As somebody once said, that if God had made the day 40 hours and the week 10 days, we would still not have enough time in our lives. Statistics show that for a person, an average person who's making about $25,000 a year, working 40 hours a week, each second of his time is worth about 21 cents. Each hour is worth about $13. If he was to waste 1 hour per day in a year, those hours that he had wasted in that year would be worth about $3,000. And if he was to waste 1 hour per day for the next 30 years, all that time that was wasted would be worth about $93,000. Our time is very precious, and we can never have enough of it. I like a little poem that was written by an unknown author, and it says the following. Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Just that one little tiny minute that was given to me by God, and I had no choice in the matter. I did not choose it, but at the same time I cannot refuse it. If I suffer, if I abuse it, I have to give an account, and if I abuse it, it could take away my eternity. My salvation could be in that 1 minute. How many saints and how many people do we know of in the history of the church who were saved in 1 minute, who were saved at the very last minute in their life, who because of 1 minute or one prayer they offered to God, God accepted them and he saved them? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Our enemy, Satan, his job is to steal our minutes, is to steal our time. He wants us to waste our time in things that don't matter, in things that are not important, so that we do not seek after what's important. In the story of Noah, Noah spent about 100 years building the ark. 100 years of his life, he was building this ship in the middle of nowhere, without a cloud in the sky, without any reason to build this great ship. And I'm sure people wondered, why are you building this ship? Why are you wasting your time? Your time can be spent in things that are more beneficial. But Noah was not wasting his time. He was redeeming his time because he knew that his days were evil. All these people that worked with him on the ark but had no faith, they were the ones who were wasting their time. But Noah was redeeming his time because he knew that his days were evil. And that's why in today's Catholic epistle, St. Peter tells us, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Take care of your time, redeem your time, because your time is precious, because your time is limited, because your time needs to be redeemed, because the time is evil. Zacchaeus was able to redeem his time. Despite all the time that he wasted before in whatever that it is that he was doing, he took the opportunity and he took the time and he put his focus on his mission. And he chose that opportunity when he knew that Christ was passing by. He did not say, I'm going to do something today and maybe tomorrow he's going to pass again. Or maybe tomorrow I'm going to go look for him. Or maybe I will see him at the feast or anything like that. He found the time and he redeemed his time because he knew his days were evil. So the first point is to live carefully or to live circumspectly. And the second point is to redeem our time. The third point, as St. Paul tells us, he says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, we see this verse, do not be unwise, do not be foolish. If we do not understand the will of the Lord, how can we set a goal? How can we walk circumspectly? How can we redeem the time? We hear about something that's called the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule says that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. In other words, only 20% of the people in this world are actually working. And the rest of the 80% are not doing anything. They're only working 20% of the time. In order for us to redeem our time and to understand the will of God, we need to prioritize that 20% in which we are doing work. And the next step is to become part of the 20% of the people who are doing the work. If we want to understand the will of God, there's only one way that will help us understand the will of God, and that is to know the Word of God. To know the Word of God means to have a relationship with the Word of God. To have a relationship with the Word of God means to understand His message to us. And God has sent us a message. It's called the Bible. Each one of us has a copy of it in his house. But does each one of us read the Word of God every day and understand the Word of God every day? A certain person was having trouble in his spiritual life. He felt that his spiritual life was empty. And so he went to his spiritual father and he asked him, what should I do? I feel that my spiritual life is empty. His spiritual father just told him a very simple exercise. He told him, read the Bible every day. The man thought that this is too simple of a solution to the problem that he has. But because of obedience, he decided to listen to the advice. And he began a routine of reading the Bible every day. And to his amazement, he learned the will of God in his life every day. When we have a relationship with the Word of God, then we have an understanding of what the will of God is. Zacchaeus understood how to get the will of God, because he understood that in order for him to be able to walk wisely and to redeem the time, he needs to have a relationship with the Word of God. He needs to have a relationship with the words that are coming out of the mouth of the Son of God. And that's why, after Christ spoke with him and he gave him the understanding of the will, he told him, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. He understood at that point what the will of God is, because he started to have a relationship with the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. St. Paul says one more thing. He says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And a question that we may ask ourselves, what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? We are already filled with the Spirit, aren't we? In baptism, we have received the Holy Spirit. In confirmation, we were confirmed in the Holy Spirit. So what does St. Paul mean by being filled with the Spirit? And if we understand the word as it was originally written in the Greek language, it literally reads, you must be continuously filled by the Spirit. You must be continuously filled by the Spirit. And as the psalm says, the children of God go from strength to strength. And as St. Paul again tells us, they are changed from glory to glory. Being filled continuously with the Spirit, meaning that allowing the Spirit to work within us to take us from strength to strength and from glory to glory. In our spiritual life, there is no such thing as being standstill. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. If you're not moving forward, be sure that you are moving backwards. And if you're not moving forward, you're not being continuously filled with the Spirit, and you're not moving from strength to strength and from glory to glory. There are 6 exercises that can help us obtain this being filled with the Spirit. The first one is prayer. Having a relationship with God means having a connection with Him. And that's what prayer is, having a connection. The second thing is fasting. Being able to control ourselves, being able to control our desires, being able to control our bodies. Not everything that our body wants, we give it to it. Not everything that our desires want, we give it to it. We need to be able to control ourselves. The third point is communion and the sacraments. There is no way that we can learn how to live circumspectly and to redeem the time and to know the will of God unless we are close to Him, unless we bond with Him, unless we become one with Him through the sacraments and through communion. The fourth point is reading the Bible. As we mentioned, we have to have a connection. We have to have a relationship with the Word of God. The fifth point is spiritual exercises. And these are things like controlling our senses, controlling our thoughts, our tongue. And the sixth point, which is the positive side of the spiritual exercises, are the spiritual virtues. Things like love, humility, endurance, peace, forgiveness. It's not enough that I control my tongue, but I have to also attain the virtue of silence. It's not enough that I control my senses and my emotions, but I need to attain the virtue of peace. These 6 exercises, prayer, fasting, the sacraments, the Bible, the spiritual exercises, and the spiritual virtues, are what is going to allow us to walk in wisdom. Walking in wisdom means walking carefully, means redeeming the time, and means understanding what the will of God is. When we think about the story of Zacchaeus, we need to think how wise this person was, that he did not care about anything or anyone. He was not distracted by anything. He put his focus on Christ. He redeemed his time because he knew that the days are evil, and he understood that he has to have a relationship with the Word of God in order to understand what the will of God is. May God grant us that we understand how to walk wisely and how to walk circumspectly in order to be able to have salvation and eternal life. And glory be to God forever. Amen.